Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Bruce Cameron, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Jenny is out this week enjoying her spring break with family, and I am here. So, it was another great week out there, and we have a wonderful guest with us today here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We have Karen Lucchese with us, and Karen is a real special person and a special individual. You know, like many of our guests have very interesting backgrounds and very interesting life experiences, and we could probably do six or seven shows just on what Karen has experienced, endured, triumphed over, survived, persevered, a lot of resilience, and now a lot of success. But definitely wanted to bring her onto the show. And you know, Karen has experience in the business world. She survived a federal incarceration years ago. We'll talk a little bit about that in business, and also has written a book and also does speaking and possibly becoming a coach.
Definitely.
Okay. I think, I know she was in the contemplation stage and now crossing over just because of her speaking engagements, the way she empowers her audience, other men and women. So she just is a natural fit into the coaching. And you know, folks, sometimes I'll bring somebody onto the show that's not a coach, but does so many things that a coach does in terms of empowering, working with people, having a message, but also assisting people get from point A to point B. And at the end of the day, that's what coaching is all about. So you know, we might be doing a little retrofit here, but certainly I want to welcome Karen to the show. So welcome.
Thank you very much. It's very good to see you.
Well, thank you.
Very good to see you.
It is good to see me.
Many
years. We see each other on Facebook all the time and keep track with the with what's going on, and always enjoy seeing you with your family, very close to your family, and we had a chance to connect several years ago when I was on the Crime and Punishment show, and we were both in different
scenarios.
Yeah, yeah, we were in different scenarios. We're in
different views on everything.
Different views,
good.
Yes, even.
It's always good.
So it certainly is. So, well, thanks for coming in and kind of, I guess, walk our listeners through, and I'll keep us on task, kind of walk us through your journey. I know it's long and expansive, yeah, but kind of tell a little bit about, you know, where you grew up, some of the things that I like to, you know, with the plaza, then this,
yeah,
kind of marches through that. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'm an Italian from San Francisco. I grew up in a very close, tight-knit family. And we moved here in the late 70s, and my father took a management position with the Texas Rangers. So I grew up in baseball my whole life and just, you know, loved Texas. We ended up staying here. And I ended up getting into alternative medicine after I was diagnosed with systemic lupus. So I learned about alternative medicine, opened a wellness center. That's where I met you. Back in the late 90s, I think.
Yes, late 90s.
And enjoyed that, enjoyed helping people with different diseases or stresses, you know, overcome that. So that was a joy for me, and it helped me personally as well. After that, in the early 2000 area, I got pulled into a sting operation through my corporate attorney, an advisor who, of course, you trust your attorney, your doctor, mm-hmm, and those are the people you trust. And I trusted him and ended up getting a conspiracy charge on a one count of money laundering for $20,000. Wow. So something out of my realm, and I was in, you know, Colleyville, you know, at my peak of my career, and had several wellness centers from Texas to Cayman Island, and went through a trial. I chose to go to trial instead of plea out. You know, 97% of the population end up pleading out and don't go to trial because it's very difficult to win in trial, which I learned. But I stuck with it, and I never lost faith, and I fought for myself, for my family, for my case. And after 5 years, I prevailed in the Supreme Court. But through that, I experienced so much of you know, just my faith and learning how to overcome any situation. Any negative in life can be turned into a positive. And it's a choice you have to make yourself. You know, you can, you know, whether it's personal, a divorce, an illness, business, you know, getting fired from a job, it's always your choice to continue and go forward and not look back. And, you know, you can go in a corner and curl up in a ball and give up on life, or you have that faith, the determination, and the passion to continue and grow. And it really helped me, you know, move forward. And I hope touched other people's lives and inspired them to overcome any situation. Yeah. That's a quick view.
No, that's part one of if that's kind of the first leg of the tour, if you will, because that was just a very interesting thing. I know I was in the Federal Bureau of Prisons at the time. I wasn't serving time. I was serving time, but
well,
I would furlough home at night. I had left. I was at the institution that Karen was at. However, I had left about 3.5 years earlier, mm-hmm. and went on to the South Central Regional Office and helped with the Special Management Unit there. However, this is kind of funny, folks, where before I had gotten my counseling license, I ran a stop smoking program, a smoking cessation mm-hmm. clinic, and I actually ran that program for the women at Carswell from 95 to 99. Mm-hmm. And I was actually going to bring that program. There was this kind of a health and wellness place next to Plaza. Mind. Right. And I had called on,
called and spoke with me, and we visited about it. I had the hypnotherapy acupuncture.
Right. We never face to face, but we talked on the phone, and I go by there, and she wasn't there. Of course, you know, I was working my day job, yeah. and she was gone before I could get there, and so we serendipitously never kind of connected, mm-hmm. and then her case picked up, and then she went in. Now that doesn't mean anything other than it's just wonderful. You know, God does wonderful miracles and.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
It's like it's faith, and it's, things happen for a reason, and you meet people.
And you know, the Crime and Punishment show later on, all this other funny stuff. Oh, yeah. But anyway, back to this. So here's, I want to ask you. This is a stupid question, but you would predict that from a radio guy. When you were just talking, and I know you've written a book and everything. We're going to talk about your book, and I know you. And so here, now you were cleared by the Supreme Court. Just your case was dropped.
My sentence was vacated by the Supreme Court, but the lower court wouldn't act on their opinion. So uh-huh. I continued to fight it. And by the time that was over, I was home, uh-huh. You know, 6 months early. But I did file a civil suit against my corporate attorney and his wife, who were the
instigators
that did the deposited $20,000 in my corporate account. And I prevailed and was awarded $2.5 million. But to this day, I haven't collected the money and I haven't done anything with it. But it was just something I had to do
to clear
it more, even though it was so obvious. But I have a very strong, I was brought up very old school tradition, believe and do what you believe in. Mm-hmm. And you can't lie about it. You can't say you did something if you didn't. You can't, you know, it's just be upfront.
Right.
It's an Italian thing. You know,
exactly.
Just be upfront. And so I just could never give in to signing anything saying I did something that I didn't. And it's, you know, and that, again, that goes back to faith and determination and believing in yourself. And my family, you know, the first thing, in my strongest force in accomplishing many things in life is my family, whether it's blood family or if you don't have, you know, true siblings, it's who do you think is your family? And that starts everything off.
It does. So, I mean, and you're just so mentally resilient to be incarcerated in a federal prison and knowing your conviction and knowing that you were there, kind of a casualty of going through trial and all that. So talk a little bit about what you did with the women there and then also your mindset that allowed you to kind of stay resilient.
Yeah. And when I was there, you know, one of the first things I noticed is the women, you know, most of them were depressed. You know, which you, I'm sure, knew that. Depressed, they would buy commissary stuff, honey buns, chips, you know, gain 30 pounds. They would be laying in their beds all day. And, you know, that mindset is going to make things worse. So I went and, you know, asked if I could start a program similar to what I had in Colleyville, which women spent thousands of dollars every month. And so I started dieting programs, exercise, meditation, you know, just everything incorporated. And, you know, the women were interacting. They were out on the track. I would go in the cafeteria and they would have carbs on their plate and I would take them off their plate and just laugh about it and say, nope, you can't have it. Or go wait in line at commissary when it opened in the morning and be standing there and say, nope, let me check your bag. Yeah. So it's like kind of helping them feel better about themselves. So when they do get out, they can be mentally prepared and physically prepared and have that positive motivation. So, and I think that helped me because it kept me busy and I like helping people and inspiring people to do more than they think they can.
Right.
You know, if you think you can't, you can, if you keep on pushing.
Right. And I think it shows your character. You're just not sitting in your cell out there moping, brooding, you know, screw the BOP, screw the system, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people sit there and they're blaming the snitch or they're blaming the co-defendant or whatever, and they're not really able to interact with people very effectively because they're so consumed with the injustice or what have you. So,
and even, you know, even if there's injustice, you have to get the positive out of it. And there's always a positive. And in life, everyone has a path. You know, they have a vision and you go towards it. You know what your vision is. But, you know, whether it's God, faith, whatever it is, sometimes you go to the right or you go to the left. But eventually you get back on track. And, you know, it's for a purpose. I mean, I met women. I think I helped women. I think I'll continue to help people. And that was part of my plan, of a greater plan. So
it's kind of like going from Super Bowl to cell block. You know what I mean? We're
hey,
just
talking about it, man.
But
the stuff, you know, in there, you know, what I was used to, you know, I had the limos and the cars and the wellness center and, you know, it's just, it's none of that matters, you know, and it's, you know, just a big, it was a shock, but it was also, I think I was numb when it happened. And I think people deal with trauma in different ways. And I think my protection mode was more shut my feelings off so my family couldn't see I was hurting because I didn't want them to hurt anymore and just focus on helping other people there. So, yeah.
And through the course of that, you have a book. So let's talk about your book and the title. And now, is it available on Amazon now? Is it already
up there? It'll be available on Amazon next week. But
next week,
you can go to my website and it's available at KarenLucchesi.com.
Spell it.
Karen, K-A-R-E-N, and then L-U-C-C-H-E-S-I.com.
Yeah, I saved me about like 15 years to spell your name.
It's a nice Italian name. Come on.
I keep on doing that Lucchesi cowboy boot thing, and they're like, no, you know, I'm sorry. But anyway, yeah, but so definitely, let's talk about your book. It's 500 pages. So let's
detail. You know, it happened 16 years ago, and it took me that long when my father had another stroke this last year, and it really hit me. You know, his health is due to what we went through as a family. you know, going through this, it changed him, and he just went in a shell. He had two heart attacks, two open heart surgeries, and now he's on a feeding tube. And, you know, family's affected by tragedy that happened. So that sparked me to say, okay, even though I don't want to relive this, you know, I'm going to do it, and why he's here. So I spent a year, you know, 24/7 with some editors and writing it, and it's very raw and it's very real, but you know, it has to be, you know, you have to tell the truth. It might be embarrassing. It doesn't matter. It shows you how, no matter what, recover, go forward, and just, you know, stay on track. So, but it's called The Innocent Woman, the Karen Lee Casey story. And it's based on integrity, love, faith, betrayal, some regulatory abuse, and family collapse. So it has a lot of twists and turns, but it's something I think that needs to be heard, and hopefully it will help other people.
Yeah. Absolutely, and of course I'm still active with Federal Prison Consulting, and then spent, I guess, much of my adult life attached in some way to the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And it's really interesting because the whole family does time. It's not just you doing the time.
Yeah. It's a family, and it's worse on the family. I mean, when I'm in there, I can, you know, shut my feelings down. I'm okay. But when your family has to come see you and walk through that visitation door, and then they have to leave. And as a parent, they couldn't do anything to help me, because once you're in the system, you know, you go through, you know, court after court. Finally, after 5 years, you get to the Supreme Court, because it takes that long. But they couldn't do anything to get me out of there, right, like right away. So that's the most painful part.
Right, you're powerless. Did you have to do any supervised release?
I came home.
That was it.
Much, yeah.
Okay, that's good. No, it's good. Yeah. You had to endure that. You know, a lot of people have to endure that piece
for years and years.
Right, after the incarceration. Yeah. But that, you didn't have to do that. Okay, so, you know, so now I love the legacy piece where you're involved with, and you were, talk a little bit about being involved in the baseball businesses.
Yeah.
and walk us through that.
Yeah, that is something that I started in 2009, you know, beginning of 2009, and I was approached by the owner of a pro baseball team, and I was brought in as a vice president and started there for a couple years, and then moved to actually Laredo to build a new stadium from the ground up, AAA caliber. And so built the stadium, beautiful stadium. And then I went into the liquor licensing rights and held the liquor licensing rights. And now I am a partial interest holder in a minor league franchise. So we have six stadiums we're building.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's just great. You had baseball legacy, moving forward, get recognized as a leader, and helped build that. So now, moving forward, I also know that you're doing some professional speaking.
Yeah, I am doing some professional speaking, different corporate companies, you know, across the country, and it's I love it. You know, I love to hopefully inspire, help people, and see, you know, how wonderful life is.
Now, a lot of our guests are also speakers. I was going to ask, because I know you talked about the likes of Lockheed or Raytheon,
yeah,
or even a women's type organization,
yeah,
that want you to talk to,
yeah,
or a small collection of women, if you will. Is it the same basic personal story every time, or is it like, if you were going to Lockheed, it'd be a little bit different?
Well, I gear it towards professional when it's your corporate, but I incorporate parts of my story, so I think people can connect to it. So it applies both personal and business. So I'll interact with both of them.
Okay. So yeah. I was just kind of curious, because I know that we had a pre-production meeting, and you were talking about, hey, I don't go into a speaking engagement all scripted out. It's kind of like,
no. Yeah, I've never been able to do that. You know, I've had a few people that wanted to, you know, write speeches for me and have my speeches. And I said, I can't, I have to speak you know, the way I feel. Sometimes I get too passionate and talk too fast because I am passionate, but I just really speak with passion and
zeal.
There I go. Yeah. Winging it. There you go.
Well, but like you said, when you have such a rich experience, you know, and I just love how, you know, baseball and your trials, with your federal case, and then being able to move out of that. I guess the silly question I was going to ask was about, like, you know, has anybody compared you, like, to a Martha Stewart, somebody who's come out of federal custody and made,
you know,
gone forward? Or is that just me being dumb?
Yeah, I mean, no one's really compared me to her, but it's unusual because it didn't faze me when I came home.
Really?
I had several job offers and I just went right to work, and
okay.
It was just like,
boom.
It didn't faze me, and I go on the radio, you know, 3 to 5 times a week sometimes, and speak about political or baseball or entrepreneur, you know, building businesses. So it's different topics. But
people were very welcoming to you. You didn't have a cloud or anything.
No, when I was away, I received hundreds of letters every, you know, week or two. You know, just from people that I didn't know,
supporting.
But they would say, I can't believe this happened. And, you know, how can this happen? And yeah, so it was very good. I mean, it was a good support system.
Okay. Well, good. So, I mean, and what I do want everybody to know from that, I mean, and it sounds like, you know, Karen's situation, every situation is different. So there's no, like, Martha Stewart's situation is different. Karen's is different than Leona Helmsley or anybody else. But the fact that she was able to kind of, you know, get a lot of meaning through that incarceration experience, still reach out to ladies and be of assistance and help and empowering these ladies to make good and healthy and positive choices, because it's just, when you're sitting in prison, it's easy to get in the pity pot, self-medicate with food.
That's right.
Because it's a little bit more not so good to make hooch out there in the camp.
Exactly.
So the commissary and all the home chili caquis and all the other wild stuff, you know, that the Latin, the ladies bust that up. Anyway, exactly. You know, we're going to put that on the cruise ship menu here for our not so healthy cruise. Anyway, just kidding. Anyway, so I think, you know, then getting out and being able to just kind of, like you said, I got out and I was doing speaking engagements and
building businesses and
build just seamlessly almost just.
And that's, I'm a visionary. I like to think outside the box. So I love helping people build their business.
Right. But you also execute too.
Yes,
I mean, that's one thing I like about her is that she's just not a talker. There's some people that are talkers and visionaries and then nothing happens. But I've been following this young lady here for years, you know, through this whole time, and really kind of seeing, you know, she's doing this, she's doing that, she's doing this, she's doing that. So that's why, man, you know what? She's now kind of crossing into the, you know, public speaking, empowering others, helping others through various means, not just her testimony.
Yeah.
You know, there's other things she brings to the plate. It's just not her. There's nothing wrong with a powerful testimony and having that kind of hot tub experience, you know, when you see a motivational speaker. But she's actually got a lot of skin in the game. You can see the evidence of her businesses and successes and those things. So it's kind of a Renaissance woman of sorts, you know. So it's always fun to know somebody like you and just have you here in the same town, which is kind of cool. So okay, so what is next for you? I know the book comes out. You're looking to continue that. So what would be some of the next things you're up to?
You know, as far as the book, you know, it's just launching, and we're hopefully going to turn into a screenplay. So we'll go to hopefully the big screen with it.
Okay.
And so that's a vision for the book part. And the global speaking, you know, I just love interacting with people. That's an area that I really want to focus on. You know, coaching, helping others, and, you know, the baseball. I'll always have ownership in baseball because it's in my blood.
Right.
So that'll always be there. So, yeah.
Well, good. Yeah. I mean, it's, and I'm kind of similar thing. I have the federal prison consulting thing, a practice, and counseling and coaching practice. And it's good to have a couple of things because it kind of keeps you fresh and not one thing gets, I don't want to say stagnant and whatever. And anyway, we'll talk later about the screenplay because here at LA Talk Radio, we got some we got some friends over there in Hollywood that that might be interested in this as a script, and of course I would be cast as the benevolent BOP.
The BOP person that I talk about in my
book. Okay, we'll have to write that in. But anyway, a little bit fun, but.
It's all good.
Yeah, it is.
It's all good. Yeah,
it is all good. Now, now I know that you got involved in some skincare products. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, about a year ago, I launched a skincare line, kind of based on holistic botanical actives. Because I love the holistic. Effect of living, your lifestyle. And so it's a pure booster infusion system that is, anti-aging, everything healthy. We put, berries in our body and milk, berries are antioxidants, milk is protein. So we're actually putting that on the skin now to, what goes in your body goes on the outside of your body. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that is something that I, I have out there in a little, I will always dabble in the beauty baseball. And,
beauty and baseball.
Beauty and baseball.
Liquor license.
That's right. And liquor licenses.
We put in our body. No. How has the client or customer response been with the skincare? I know what I've seen on social media has been very good.
Yeah, it's very good. It's in some Highland Park areas and some spas in Southlake, Colleyville, and I have some distribution in Lebanon overseas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Amazing. So where do you see yourself with service line of the skincare? Is that going to grow, have more products, or just going to go through this first phase and reevaluate or what's?
Yeah, we'll add to the product line probably within the year and add some other things to it. Okay. About every six months to a year, you launch with a couple new items in it.
Okay. Well, that sounds, exciting as well. So now going back to public speaking and coaching, and I know you've in the past, you've done some retreats. Talk about some of the retreats and some of the things that you either have done or might do in the future.
When I had the resorts, and now I'm trekking into the possibilities of it, but we would take a group of women or men or couples, either one, and do different retreats, whether it's stop smoking, relaxing, lose weight, detoxing, and take the women to a beautiful resort home on the beach and have a cook that cooks healthy for them, that teaches them how to cook, massages, detoxing, and hypnotherapy, acupuncture, team building, individual counseling, and just a great experience. And they go for a week and have this great, very personal attention. It's not, you're not just going to some hotel or resort. Mm-hmm. It's a house and it's very secluded and it's a great experience.
Yeah. Right. I think that's a really good service line to be in, that the coaching is a part of that.
Yeah.
on some of those, and it certainly could be a part of that in addition to some of those other experiences. So, And I say that because I know we've had other coaches. As a matter of fact, we've had this place I was sharing with you in Mexico. They were on here almost a year ago now, maybe it was less than a year ago, and talked about some of the services that they were ready to provide. So that'd be great. Maybe we can bring some of the folks from the United States down there. But so I think that's a really good place where I think coaches can plug into is like, I'm doing all these activities, but how can I incorporate that into a life coaching plan? How can I have somebody help me with setting goals, or maybe I need somebody to help me be accountable, just like you were with the ladies outside the commissary,
there
right?
There we go.
No, but having that almost accountability partner, mm-hmm. is a good thing as well. So,
and the life coaching and lifestyle change. So if you go on these retreats and you're going to have the life coaching, but then also life changing as far as your health, your wellness, your, you know, it's a mental, mind, body, and spirit. I mean, it all goes together in the right direction.
Yeah. Now, yeah, one of the things that I think that I know that you would do, but let's say they go on one of these excursions, mm-hmm. but then, you know, offering life coaching after the experience for a minimum of 3 months post experience to kind of solidify and make sure, or not to make sure, but to see if some of those things
to continue on. That's definite.
Can continue, almost like aftercare, if you will.
Yeah.
but I think that's always good. I know one thing back in the day, you had Promise Keepers thing mm-hmm. for men, and the men would, mm-hmm. they'd go into the baseball stadium mm-hmm. and hear about the Lord yeah. and be faithful and don't do stuff with porn and, you know, and yeah, boy, we're, you know, do this for God. Okay. And then the thing is over and then there's no follow-up, And now there is a little bit better follow-up today, and they've instituted that because they knew that there was no follow-up. But any good component, you know, and I think.
And it's care. I mean, it's continual care. Like if you're working out, you don't work out 1 month and then don't work out for 3 months. You're not going to have effects, the right effects. So it's going on the retreats, the aftercare, and do retreats once a year. And follow up, and always growing and expanding.
Refresher, a 1.0 or a 2.0. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. Do you remember those things called curves? Remember the little?
Yeah.
It'd be almost like weight one, but you'd come in and have to be accountable to your curves person or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a competitor back in the day,
but you stay motivated,
right?
You know, other people motivate you. You know, you can motivate yourself, but having other people. Right. Along this journey with you, that's what really pushes, you know, people, and it's you see results.
And that's what coaching is all about, right? It's not it's that other person that is with you or with your client to help them. First of all, you know, discuss wins of the week, discuss losses of the week or challenges of the week, discuss things that maybe you're tolerating that you maybe should or shouldn't tolerate. You know, and we've talked about this little formula here on the show, the wins and losses, and what are you tolerating in your life this week? And then it's always a nice springboard to kind of move forward. But I think, I think that a lot of the women that and men, you know, for that as well.
Yeah. For men too. I see the retreats in, you know, Colorado in a cabin and, you know, it's just nature and going through the same thing, but it's a man's platform.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Couples coaching.
It could be, or it just could be, you know, you could have like a hybrid, you know, just men and women, whoever, it's just a coaching self-improvement situation, and whoever comes. So I think that's, you know, that is great. So a lot of what you've gone through. So what, you know, who you are now is what would be some of the three or four things that are your core cornerstones? Like, for instance, I know family is one, so that's an easy one. But what are some of your cornerstones that kind of make you who you are?
I mean, I believe, you know, challenges in life you go through, they're stepping stones to define who you are as a person. So no matter what happens, I think with your family or your closest people in your life, but my formula is faith, passion, and determination. And I will always come through and reach my vision or my dream or my goal. If I stay true to that, you know, and really live it, you know, some people can say, oh, I have faith, but they say the word, they don't live it. So I think really getting down and living it, you know, is for me.
Well, let's look at the determination word. I think that's a great, that's an interesting word, you know, and I know for me, I think for everybody, but I'll just speak for me right now, but my biggest challenge is kind of discipline. And that to me, that definition of discipline where I need to get up and do something that I really don't feel like I want to do right now. That could be going to the gym or just whatever. And so that determination, what, if you're looking at either you yourself and your determination, or how you would coach that, or help people access that. What are your thoughts on that determination cornerstone?
Determination is huge because it's similar to being relentless. So you have to have faith and passion to be determined. So, I mean, they all work together. But if you're not determined, yeah, you can have faith. You're going to reach this goal, but you are not trying to get there. You're not determined. You're lazy about it. So you have to live it again. You know, think relentless, determination, and not giving up. And the more someone knocks you down, the harder you push back and keep on going. So it's all hand in hand.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, I know I've trained a lot of life coaches and been involved, with the coaching school out of Orange County and whatnot, and seen a lot of the graduates come through there. And now it's been about 2 years that I've been actively, tracking, new coaches or training coaches. And I notice that you need to have that passion to get to that determination. You know what I mean? You need to have that passion to fuel that. Otherwise, and so that's the thing that I've noticed about younger coaches or coaches younger in their career, not millennials or anything by any means, but the younger coaches that, man, if they'll go through the training and they'll get the necessary skill set and the certification, but man, if they don't have that passion,
it's not going to fly.
Because you're right, that passion is going to help you with your brand, right?
Exactly.
Like who you are.
And if you're passionate and you're working with someone one-on-one, people feel it. We feed off of each other. So if you're not passionate, passionate or you don't have that, you have to have it. Otherwise, you can't teach that. I think that's a big base to believing what you're doing,
Right.
Yeah.
So that is the one great thing, though, about coaching is that Karen, myself, others can use our past experiences as, I don't want to say as a guide, but
even a kicker platform, and something to relate to.
Right. Yeah. All right. And my past experiences and even recent stuff with the corporate world and stuff like that, man, that just really fuels me to kind of go down these lanes. This is that. And for you, you've put your experiences and passion stuff and you've put it in mechanisms. And here we have a book maybe turns into a screenplay. Here we have growing up in baseball that turns into building stadiums, that turns into liquor licensing, it turns into more white space, if you will, white space growth of that service line. You have a book, it's a service line, if you will, or product line, and that turns into that. Then, your passion for holistic care because I think the loop is transformed into the healthcare, and now we have that. So those things about you, you've been able to share those with others, right?
And positive into positive things. Negative into a positive.
Right. And the whole thing about coaching is that everybody has that inside themselves.
Exactly.
That's the whole premise behind coaching, is that you out there, you have that inside yourself, and the coach brings that out.
Pulls it out, yeah.
Right, and then assist you moving forward with those things that are and
utilizing them.
Right,
they're all of those things you have. You may not know you have, but getting them out, yeah.
Right, and that's why we have certain types of assessment techniques and stuff like that we help others find out who they are, because sometimes in that Johari window, like there are others that see you and they kind of know a little bit about you that you don't know about yourself.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so, man, having that feedback from a objective third party person. And even though I'm the paid coach, I consider myself objective because I really didn't know this person before the coaching engagement. So I'm going to actually put on my sharpest pair of glasses give them very good feedback, but very on point factual feedback about things. So, So I think it's kind of cool that, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of interesting. I'm kind of using your experience moving
many,
it forward to a coach.
I want to help. I mean, that's right. part of this whole project.
Right.
You know,
right.
And utilizing my past or whoever's and just learning from it and show people
right.
how to move forward.
Yeah, because I just see so much forward inertia, like I said, with the book and where that's going and what you've done with your speaking engagements and other things. And then people, you know, really resonating, you know, to you, men and women. And so, wow, you know, I just thought, you know, we had this discussion, you know, have you thought about becoming a coach? And here's why I think you might mm-hmm. want to look at that just because, and I'm kind of biased, as y'all know, folks, I'm, you know, Bruce, the biased co-host of the show, because I had a little deal where I was speaking a whole lot when even in the Federal Bureau of Prisons, I thought, man, I'm going to go to all these national conferences and present about this, that, and
I want to speak there.
You do, I bet you do, but we'll have to work on that. But man, here we go, another speaking again, another one, and another one, another one. If I really didn't have other things, I'd be kind of like, speaking engagements are great, and I'm reaching out to people and providing education. It just kind of got a little, you know, it kind of lost some of its luster. So having some of these other things really helped keep everything nice and sharp. Mm-hmm. So I think that is great. And I do want to mention that you self-published your book on Create Space. Not that I work for Amazon. I did the same thing. I wrote a book on,
wanted to self-publish and keep the rights and, you know, that we turn it into a movie and have control of my life story and other things in the book. I mean, it's just,
And again, I think that's a good idea because you have control of your product and look, folks, you know, some people, a lot of coaches write books. A lot of coaches want to have their book published by X, Y, or Z, mm-hmm. but sometimes
a lot of things are lost in that, I think.
Yeah. Right. You got to pay a price for everything No, I'm with you and about keeping that control. That's why I'm here on LA Talk Radio, because I can just say whatever I want and there's no police.
That's good. We like
right?
that.
Yeah, we like that until the F-bombs start flowing. But I'm in a good mood today. No, it's not going
to
happen.
We like to be controversial.
Yes.
Up front.
Just absolutely. But and that's another item that I think, you know, to be able to do that. And that way your book is totally you and – and sure, you know, we all have editorial help and stuff like that, but, you know, that you get to come off with you. Now, I don't know if you'll be so lucky in that screenplay. We'll see how that
sucks out. I'm curious about that, but I know it would be a very good one.
So, big screen. If you were to look at everything you've done to this point, just talk about some of the successes you've had working with others. Talk about if you have any kind of case studies or life examples where you've
I think in general I love to help people, you know, whether it's the charity, I travel across the country doing logistics for charity events, you know, that host 10,000 people, so I love to help people in that capacity, or the speaking, sharing my story, doing the talk radio, some TV interviews, but it's it brings joy to me to help others or know that someone got something out of what I went through, or just my thought or formula on life, being successful and how to get there.
Right. Is there any part of your life? I'll say.
Ask me. Go ahead.
No, I know you're up front. For me, I still think, even though I'm doing a lot of other things like with this show and mm-hmm. corporate stuff, I still think that a lot of my whatever comes from the Federal Bureau of Prisons, just who I was and what I did and my skill set working with different types of offenders and sex mm-hmm. offenders and drug folks and stuff like that. That kind of a lot of what I've been able to do was born out of that. If you were to look at your life thus far at this mm-hmm. point, what are some of the big drivers that have kind of defined your best work?
I mean, for me growing up, I think what drove me is a challenge. And, you know, when I got ill, that was a challenge to recover.
Okay.
And so just seeing that, you know, a driver is family. A driver is, compassion for people, being successful, you know, and reaching a goal, you know, helping others. So it,
Yeah, a lot of that.
So in other words, so a lot of what you're saying is you're overcoming certain challenges that have been placed before you.
Yeah.
From physical illness, incarceration, and other challenges. Yeah. So you're, is it how you did it? Is it your ability to persevere? Or like you said, you're going back to your
faith and determination. And when I was, 15, diagnosed with severe dyslexia in school, could barely, I'm seeing everything backwards. Why is everything, backwards? And so that was a challenge. But because of that, I told myself at 15, I said, I'm going to own my own company by the time I'm in my early 20s. I wasn't going to go to college, where I couldn't get a doctorate, and, with that. So I did it. I owned my first company at 22.
Wow.
So, but that was the challenge. That was like, okay, even though I have this, I'm still going to find a way to get to what I want, because there's always a way. So that goes back to determination and being relentless and having faith.
Right. And then with the coaching techniques, finding that passion and then moving forward with that. And that's just such a great example, and what a better example to have it like that, persevering, overcoming challenges, harnessing that and then spreading that to others, you can survive your circumstances. So, and you're able to, so if somebody's like, well, I've been to jail, we can say, well, I've been to jail.
Yeah.
Or prison.
Which is, I've been there longer than you.
People go in and out of jail. Yeah. People stay in freaking prison.
Yeah.
There's a big old difference. So they say jail, I'm like, hey, what? No, oh, no. Okay. So you've been to prison. You've survived illness. You've actually, as a chronic care capacity, you're still taking care of your lupus. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're still dealing with that. So, and then, with businesses and still moving forward and not letting those challenges define you in a bad way or stop you.
Yeah.
Stop. So a lot of people just kind of stop. And going back to what I was saying about the young coaches, like they'll get a website and they'll be on LinkedIn and then they just stop. I'm like, what happened? Well, I just didn't have the money to spend on marketing. I was unsure on what packages I could do and stuff like that. And I know there's a lot of other coaches. I know Jenny is doing some coaching of coaches and business coaching of coaches, but I hate to see that when that happens, because the person's gone so far and spent so much time and energy and resources to become a coach, and then it kind of falls flat. And not everybody, but it does happen to some people, and we don't want that to happen. So here, someone like Karen here, who is, blowing and going, what I mean? She's just got this and this and this and this, and I think becoming a coach I don't want to say it's a step backward, but it's certainly a step sideways as a way to personalize the service line, and people could get your attention for more focused time with you.
Exactly. And I wish that was available when I was younger.
Well, it probably was, but you didn't know about it. But
yeah,
California.
I think it's awesome.
Oh, you mean, so you could have had a coach?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wish I had been introduced to a coach when I was younger to even progress things with me more.
I know. I mean, there were mentors, but then a mentor is different than a coach, because the mentor is saying, well, be like me. Here's what I did. I did this, this, this. You should do this, this, this. And then that's not what we're doing as a coach. We're bringing out, we're kind of making this person into that.
Exactly.
Art form that they are truly created to be and truly created to do, and just playing that nice facilitative role. So, good. So we got about 2 minutes left. And so tell our listeners and everybody the various ways, and that's why I'm giving you full 2 minutes, because I know there's a truckload. But anyway, your Facebook, your email, your website, your Twitter. Go ahead.
And I have all the social medias, but I have a public page on Facebook. You can go to Karen Renee Lucchesi. And
it's
Lucchesi.
Is that Renee with two E's?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also you can go to Karen and then Lucchesi.com. And that is my website with the speaking, with the book. You can purchase the book online there, and you can read little sections of the book to get a feel for what it is. It has a lot of inspirational dialogue, on the website. So, check that out. And
do you have a Twitter or any of the other ones?
Yeah, I have a Twitter under actually the Innocent Woman Project is another
Facebook, the Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter, the Innocent Woman Project is the project, and the book is The Innocent Woman.
Gotcha.
So we have the Innocent Woman Project, but it's all under KarenLucchese.com.
So, okay, so KarenLucchese.com is a one-stop shop.
It's a one-stop shop, and then it'll feed you to all of our other sites.
Excellent, excellent. Yes. Well, Karen, thanks for coming on the show today. It's always, I know, it's just a pleasure to...
memories together.
Yeah, we had to reminisce from Super Bowl to Cell Block and beyond. Mm-hmm. We'll see what's going and just a fun time. But look, thanks for sharing a little bit about yourself.
Definitely.
Because I think there are some listeners out there and other coaches out there and other people out there that can really kind of see, if they go to your website, they kind of see where you've been, what you've done, and now where you're headed and what you're doing. And hopefully we'll be able to get you on the show here in about 6 months, 8 months, or whatever, see what you're doing at that point in time. And you just never know all the blessings and things that you'll be putting forward then. So, all right, folks, and you can see us on our Facebook page at Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. And also, the show will be on iTunes, so feel free to Google us on iTunes, the Concierge Coaches Show. And they're also archived on the LA Talk Radio site. Jenny and I have our own subpage on latalkradio.com, and we're on Channel 2. So if you look at us for the show, we're archived under Channel 2, and then you can always Google us on iTunes and see us on Facebook. So with that, we'll bid you a great afternoon. Thanks for listening to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, and we'll see you next week. Y'all take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.